Now, tell me about your father.
City Counselling on 95BFM, our weekly chat with the good people of Auckland Council.
The native kauri trees in the Waitakere Ranges have been under threat from the kauri dieback disease for years. While this is naturally occurring, humans disturbing the area with foot traffic have led to the rate spreading quicker than normal and put the trees at major risk. However, a recent report from the council has revealed new details on the spread, showing that the issue, while still prevalent, may not be moving as quickly as previously thought. To learn more, I spoke to Richard Hills for our regular city counselling segment about what they've recently discovered. I first asked how kauri dieback has affected the ranges over the past few years.
2018 was when the rahui was put in place because of the data we had that kauri dieback was spreading across the Waitakere Ranges. We've just recently completed a much more intensive survey of about 68,000 trees and looking right across the Waitakere Ranges, and we've found that about 16% of the trees are ill, and most of those who are ill will have kauri dieback. But the good thing is that what we've found from this more intensive study is that it hasn't moved as fast as we thought, and the centre or the heart of the Waitakere Ranges is still safe from kauri dieback.
Why is it so important to keep kauri trees healthy?
Yeah, so when we when Te Kauaro Aumaki put the rahui on, and we supported them in that by closing tracks legally, we did that because we know that the soil movement, moved by people or water downhill or interference in urban areas, means that kauri dieback spreads very quickly. And the reason we have to keep those taonga safe, those trees safe, is because the kauri dieback weakens those trees and essentially kills them within a number of years. And if we lose all the trees or the majority of trees in the Waitakere Ranges, the whole ecosystem basically falls apart. And then we have massive issues for our wildlife, biodiversity, but also climate emissions.
Is kauri dieback caused by humans?
No, as far as we know, kauri dieback is not caused by humans, but one of the vectors shown by this study is clearly when there's soil disturbance, and a lot of that could be historic from timber milling, etc., but it shows that the kauri trees that were affected were closer to our tracks, closer to urban areas in the periphery, but where the centre of the Waitakere Ranges, where we've had very little human activity, it hasn't actually spread to those areas.
Yeah, I remember being a kid walking through the Cascades, walking through different paths through the Waitakere Ranges. There were oftentimes these stations where people would just pretty much spray and clean off the bottom of their shoes before taking their walks. Did these have any major effects?
Yeah, so we didn't really have many of those. We had a few at high traffic areas, but now any tracks or any access to the Waitakere Ranges that we've been opening, so we've opened almost 50 kilometres of tracks so far, all of those entrances and accesses have that those cleaning stations, and it's actually a legal requirement to ensure that you're cleaning your boots before and after you go in. And we have some staff helping out rangers to help people, do that. But I think people are respecting it far more than maybe back in the day when we didn't know as much about the science.
So what has caused the rate of kauri dieback to decrease over the past few years, as seen in the latest report?
So we're not sure if there's been a decrease, but I guess what we've been able to ascertain is far more granular detail. And we've done aerial surveys and then also quite a lot of soil surveys. Some of the trees that we thought maybe were affected by kauri dieback have actually been affected by things like drought and maybe other diseases that aren't as dangerous to the overall forest, but may have caused, a few trees to die or look, in poor health. I guess we were expecting maybe it had spread further over the last 5 years, but actually what we have seen is that isn't the case. But the stronger data shows us that we need to continue working with Mana Whenua and working with the local community to open the tracks up when it's safe to do so. We're spending record amounts now on kauri dieback protection. I think in 2018, we only had about 300,000 or 400,000 a year. Now we're spending over $10 million a year on this, and that includes investing in those new tracks that divert people away from the roots of the kauri and potentially keep some kauri away from people into the future.
Are we still, are the Kauri dieback trees still at major, restart the question, are the Kauri trees still at major risk of Kauri dieback, or is this a substantial enough change that we can kind of loosen our restrictions a little bit?
Yeah, so it doesn't mean we can loosen our restrictions, but it does mean that we have more information to kind of ascertain where we need to open tracks and where we may need to keep them closed. I guess the good thing is it shows us it's spread slower than we thought it was, but because it's shown us it's prevalent in the areas where people have been, it shows us that, you know, building those boardwalks, moving those tracks away from the trees is the right thing to do. And so it's important to know that, I guess, two things. There's no point giving up because we've actually protected quite a lot of the forest. And to continue to do that for future generations, I think it's obvious that if we kept it at that 16% of ill trees, that we might actually see the bush regenerate in the areas without Kauri dieback. But interestingly enough, in the areas that we do have Kauri dieback, we saw seedlings in both areas. So we weren't able to ascertain if those new seedlings were maybe, you know, resistant to Kauri dieback, or they just don't have it yet. But it was good to see in about half of all the areas we surveyed, there were new seedlings coming through and quite good growth as well.
Is there anything that individual Aucklanders can do to continue improving the health of our Kauri population?
Yeah, so there's obviously, whenever you go into any forest walk across Tamaki Makaurau, if there is a cleaning station, it's really important to you know, wash your boots actually before you leave home and when you get home after a walk, but also as you walk into those tracks. It might be a little bit annoying for a couple minutes to stop and scrub your boots and if people are waiting, but actually that is one of the most important things we can do as individuals to help protect those trees. The other thing is ensuring that if there are closed tracks, it's actually you can be prosecuted for entering those closed tracks, so important from a legal perspective, but also, you know, those tracks are closed because of, we want to protect the health of those Kauri. So, you know, don't go into any entrances where there's signage or large fences. Don't try and go around those fences. Try and find a track that's open. The other issue is that people don't really maybe think about when they leave an area that may have Kauri dieback and they go and walk in another bush area, that there actually could be spreading that pathogen. So it's just ensuring that, you know, entering and leaving one forest is another thing, but if you're going to and from other reserves across Tamaki Makaurau, it's important to think about, you know, if you've washed the clothing and washed the shoes that you're using. And I guess just, you know, common sense is don't walk on any roots, stay as far as where you further as far as you can away from those trees, or just stick to the boardwalks and tracks that are available.
Could we see some of the previously closed tracks be reopened in the future? And if they were, how would they be changed?
Yeah, so some of that has that work has already been done. So some of that $10 million a year of investment plus track renewal money has already gone into opening, yeah, nearly 50 kilometres of tracks that were closed. We've got another 10 tracks opening this year. And, you know, some of them have literally just had boardwalks built instead of the dirt tracks. Others have been completely realigned away from Kauri, and then the old tracks sort of planted over so people don't access that way. So, you know, with COVID and everything else and supply chain issues, that has actually been quite quick work by the many contractors that have been working on those tracks in the Waitakere Ranges, but there's also many across, say, in my ward on the North Shore. Significant number of tracks have been upgraded too, because we have about 30 reserves with Kauri in them as well.
Have you tried mindfulness? Try mindfulness.
City Counselling on 95 BFM.